Hey everyone, welcome to episode 6 of Across the Plains. I'm your friendly neighborhood DM Tom, and I've got a few things to cover before we jump into the lore of Terran Ridge. First and foremost, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for, you know, sticking with us for the last several years. It's getting crazier and crazier, so I hope you're enjoying the ride, and buckle up because it's only going to go more off the rails. Second, check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. We're posting a lot on TikTok and Instagram right now, so go there first. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff that is coming and is also already out, and it's definitely worth your time to check out. Third, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all definitely appreciate the love and support. Just a quick side note, be sure to check out the website as well, themedusascascade.com. We've got a lot of cool stuff, a lot of visual stuff to help out with what's going on, starting to fill in locations. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff that's slowly going to be rolled out over the course of the summer, so keep checking back at the website and, you know, do what you can. Let us know what you think. If you have suggestions, please let us know when we'll get there. Thank you.
Okay.
Finally.
The Terran Ridge.
We do. Mm-hmm. I like.
All right. So we have from play, we have the whole, what you sent me. The campaign has really only touched on the Nalakabi, but.
Yep. And we're only there for like a day.
Yeah.
And got most of them slaughtered, but you know, it's okay.
Well, in that village, there are multiple villages.
Okay.
Wasn't everybody.
Do we have a quick map that we can kind of look at where we're placing them in Granzia?
Yeah, it should be on the Discord.
And just go
if you go to
Granzia.
Yeah,
oh,
settings Granzia. In Granzia.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, here we go. Ah! There it is.
It's smack dab in the middle.
Zoom in.
Essentially, we're keeping them all within Terran Ridge and the outskirts of Dragonborn Valley, like those mountain ranges.
It was just where it says Terran Ridge was where I was saying.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then you've got, it looks like you have a valley with a path that goes through the middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got, and you can pretty much, maybe we can chunk that up into fives. I would assume the Gothic Kanafi will be in the northest part because
they have
relations with the Dragonborn.
Mm.
Yep.
And then the Malakathai could be on the bottom.
Yep. Because closest to Grand City and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, because they are cool with other customs and races. They live close to society.
Hell yeah!
Then where were we when we got? Where were we when we went to the Nalakavi? Were we in the Forest Bastion?
You guys were by. You guys started in Nindeloth.
Mindeloth, and then we went south.
And you went south.
And then did we go to past Ravenwood, or were we near Ravenwood?
I think we were between Ravenwood and Forest Bastion. Like that.
Oh no, you didn't even go from the journeyman picked you up She was with you in Nindelof, and then she dropped you like a day's journey from, I think if I remember correctly, it was by Lake Moonbow.
Mm.
Oh, okay. So we're by Lake Moonbow.
Okay. Yeah, so you guys were only like a day or two out, if I remember correctly.
So then let's have the Nalakavi near there. All right. So
where it's where it says Turn Ridge?
Like right below it says Turn Ridge. So you have the valley where the path is, and then we can put it in that section there. So the top of the bottom half.
Okay.
Yeah,
because that's kind of where it was close to, and that seems to be foresty and shit.
I agree with that.
So we got Gatha Kanathi, we've got the Nalakavi, we've got the Malakathai, we've got the Okalavi, and
I think the trackers and rogues, the thieves and that, would be at the bottom of the top half.
Okay, along, on the other along side. That train road.
Yeah, on the other side of the Nalakavi, yep.
Okay, so then we put the Ogalavi in between them and the Gatha Kanathi.
Yes.
Okay, so then let me take these notes. Tell me I'll put it in Mars.
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be really fun talking this in the video, in the audio. Let's just add notes.
Yeah, the Vathanathu. Vathanatho, Ogalavi, Nalakavi, Malakathai, Gatha Kanathi. Just wait until we do the barrier range. We do the nine Goliath tribes at the barrier range.
I know.
Okay. And all of their fun lore.
Random name generator.
Oh, dude, you have my notes on that. That,
yep.
There's lots of names.
All right, well, so that's how we have it in the mountain range. I updated it.
Cool.
Okay, sweet. So we've got all them placed.
Yes, yes. And the other thing that we have from the notes is that the chiefs meet every other winter solstice.
Yep.
So do they govern separately? And there's like a... like a meeting of the, you know, like a state of the union, as it were, from their particular territories every other winter solstice.
Yeah. Yeah, they all govern separately. They do their own things. Obviously, if, you know, there's some issues and shit, you can have a meeting between, you know, one or two leaders of those opposing clans, but
in neutral territory.
Yeah, but they all come together. Do we have like a highest, because they're all mountain people, they meet on like on the highest peak of the ridge?
Fuck yeah, I'm down. As far as I know, Turt doesn't have a highest peak within Terran Ridge. It's all
where those two R's are. It looks like it's the highest.
Oh yeah, that does. Yeah, the way it looks, it does look like it's at where the two R's are.
Sure. Where would we, what would we call this particular peak? Doesn't necessarily have to have a map name, but maybe it's like a cultural name, you know, like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like it's the, you know, like the bowl or the, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's something that within Terran Ridge, if someone said, oh, you know, our chief is going to meet this chief in the blank, people would know exactly what you're talking about if you're from Terran Ridge. Like, oh shit, that's happening? Like, that you know, that name has significant meaning to know that, you know, like, this, like, where beef gets...
The summit? It could be, like, a play on, like, having a summit, but also just being the summit.
I think if we want to add something to it, like... something something the summit or something something summit or are and like because it's supposed to be like a historical thing, right? Because they've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
They've all had it.
Here's a question.
Yeah,
what, this sort of goes into something else, but this may help with naming the thing. Is there religion amongst the Goliath? Is there like a shared religion? If there's like a shared religion, it could be one thing, or it could be, you know, like they have different religions, or they object, or they deify one particular god out of a pantheon, but there's like
the high end god, or is there no religion? That was my thought, was like it could be something of religious import as well.
Let's look now. I don't know if I want to put them on a religion, because then I would have to figure out why Galahad left that religion to go to Bahamut, and that would be a whole.
Would we do it more maybe as like druidic, whereas like the
that is more nature based?
Yeah, where like the Nalakavi are like the shaman of the ridge.
Yeah, maybe, and we can do like, that. So like we can, you have other clans can send them to, can send like their shamans go learn from the Nalakavi and come back, kind of like the Maesters in Game of Thrones. They all go to the Citadel. Like you go to the Citadel, you learn, you get your chain, and then you're sent to a castle.
Yes.
Yeah. They're very much of the earth, like, you know, of the land and what have you.
Yeah. We do that, and then we can make them a, because they hold that, because they hold that, and they have people who go to them, when their chief goes to the summit or to the thing, they try to be as neutral as possible.
Yeah, they're sort of like the tiebreak almost.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah.
You got five, you got the odd number, and you got the maesters essentially are sitting going like, well, we're side with these guys.
Mm-hmm. And like there's no ill will or whatever, like there's no, like it's written like there's no ill will, there's no like whatever they decide, it's what's decided and that's it. Like you got no beef with the shamans. They're just going based off what they feel is best for the ridge. And everything is always what's best for the ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means Galahad's father's war would have been against what happened in the... probably what the ridge was against, or at least most of the tribes would have been against.
Hence why he was excommunicado.
Yeah.
And that was the way to save it. Like, that was the... To right the ship, they needed to do something, and at the summit, they were like, you gotta give... you. I'm assuming Galahad's dad was chief at this point, so either he would have been there, and then it would have been a 4-1, like, you need to be excommunicated, or...
I feel like the Ogolavi might have joined in with him. Maybe there was, like, a splinter faction of the Ogolavi that joined in, the Berserkers.
Hmm. Maybe. They are Berserkers.
Who knows?
Yeah. That could make sense. Yeah. Okay, so hold on. So we're going back to religion, right? So we're going to do like a nature-based religion that the shamans all kind of lead. Everyone is free to kind of find their own gods. But usually that comes from like reading or experiences or
what if we did, you have Lake Moonbow that's fairly close to it. What if it is a play on, you have a Lake Moonbow that is like, you take the water away, it goes deep into the ground. This one in the peak is the opposite of it. So it would be like Dawn Summit or something like that.
Mm. Okay.
Oh. I like that.
Yeah.
So you go from, you know, get the high point and the low point type deal.
How about the Summit of Dawn?
Summit of Dawn?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were going to quash something at the Summit of Dawn, it's probably pretty, like a pretty real thing to happen. Usually you would just, it would be a talk, you know, you'd talk with the Nalakavi, meet with the Nalakavi, but if it couldn't be reached there, it's like, all right. Summit of the Dawn, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can maybe do something where, like, because it's done every other winter solstice. So that, I don't know if we're doing solstice the same way we do them here, where the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year.
Yes.
We can do something where like they placed it there because the way when the sun comes up or when the sun comes down, you can have something with like the reflection going from the lake to, I guess, like the atrium of
of the Summit of Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm here for it, man.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that like signals like you got to get there before that happens. Like the Chief's got to get there before that happens because that is like the official start of our talks.
Yep.
Yeah. Boom.
Would there be like a, is it one of those things where you're punished for not arriving on time, or is it like a sign of disrespect kind of thing, or?
I would say disrespect unless something was said, but usually you would send a proxy, like you got to send somebody. Otherwise, like you got to send someone because there's always got to be a body.
Mm.
There should always be a body. If it's either the chief or it's the chief's son or the chief's daughter, however we want to.
Yeah.
Depending on the place.
Yeah. Whoever, you know, whatever.
Whoever speaks for the clan, because they don't come to speak every two until, you know, they don't all come together unless some other shit happens. You know, this is a part of like your job. You have to do this.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. You get your, you have your territory, and yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
But I like that we do the, I like the shaman. I like the Nalakavi being like the raven, the maesters and stuff. Cause even in Game of Thrones, like the maesters do like winter comes cause they all send the white ravens out. And that's how they communicate that winter started. So like we can do each of the shamans know, like, all right, you gotta, like, this is the time. Like, cause the, you know, things change, how the world changes, calendars change, seasons change, and dates change. Yep. They're the ones who like communicate that with their chief. Be like, you know, you're expected to be here in like the coming week or fortnight or, you know, whatever range of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I could totally see them sending like, I forget if it's Animal Messenger, the spell, but using that to communicate.
Yeah. You know, can't expect people to hold on a date for every 2 years. Like, I get that. The logistics of this, so there should be people responsible for that. And we can,
someone's got to show up. If the chief's not showing up, there has to be someone who speaks for the clan.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, any decision is made that's clan-wide, like, you don't have a say in it, and then you're screwed.
All right. I'm curious. When we say clan, does it mean that the people that are literally, like, genetically part of the clan are in that territory? Or is that the ruling clan that has different vassals and smaller clans underneath it?
Oh, we're really going Game of Thrones here.
Well, no, but I mean, think about this has always kind of bothered me. It's oh, there's
like
only
your,
five
like your banner,
in the whole
like your
thing.
Bannerman.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like there's only five families live here. Like, that's it. It's this massive mountain range in the middle of the continent, and it's only five families. Either it's massively incestuous, or you know, there's gotta be other people.
We could do it like this, right? So you can do it where your clan name is your region name. So like, you're part of this region, this is your clan name, and then you've got Goliaths who live within these borders. They can have whatever their first name is, whatever their nickname is, and whatever their father or mother's name is. But that's a more personal thing. You only let people know that, like, if you care about them.
Yes. Otherwise, it's your first name and whatever.
Yeah. The first name, nickname, clan name. But your clan name doesn't need to be your genetic last name.
Okay. I dig.
I like it.
Yeah.
Because that, like, was everyone, one thing that bothered me a lot was like, man, it feels like this is like Barovia. Like, this shouldn't be like this.
Yeah. So like, they all have their territories and part of like their temple thing. They can talk about redlining districts, right? Like, that's what they do. Figuring out territories. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, they figure out what the territories are. And if you're within that, you are, you know, part of Gothic Kanafi and all that. Like, and that's what your clan is. And like, you should be able to go into the main, like, I'm sure there's like the main village, the main place where like the head lives. Yeah. But like,
other smaller villages and, you know, farmsteads and that sort of deal.
Mm-hmm. But everyone should feel entitled that they can go to their main village and be welcomed and like go see whoever they need to see, because there's a pride in like, these are our people.
Yes, very communal, very much for the clan.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is up to you guys because I don't know.
I don't know either.
Would, like, if you were from, like, one clan, would you be able to just say, I'm going to go and, like, trade or talk with or just, you know, head over to another, like, region? Like, are the walls open or are the doors, like, you need permission for all that shit?
I mean, I think it should be... I think if we're talking Goliath to Goliath, we should be fine. It's when you go from non-Goliath into those certain clans because some are more open to it than others.
Mm.
So, like, if there's already existing relations, so, like, the Dragonborn can go to the Gothakanathi and be like, whatever.
Mm.
Because there's already an existing relationship there. You know, other people can go to...
like, down with Malakavi.
Yeah.
Or Malakathai. That's yeah. what it was.
Yeah.
They're much more open. Like, they have relationships with, you know, the Azamar and Storm Canyon and, you know, the elves in Forest Bastion and Luxemburgo, people down in Medley, and probably even Ground City.
Yeah. Like, you're down, like, each of the clans are down to who to be open, or down to be open to whoever they want outside of Goliath's. Because that's like their ruling. Like you're controlling. It's technically your territory. It's your land. They're not gonna tell you got to trade, or as long as people are being fed and there's no upright people trying to kill each other and civil wars and stuff. If you want to be closed off to society, you can be closed off to society.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it doesn't mean you should be killing people that show up unannounced. You should at least give fair warning. And if people disrespect you, then go ahead, do what you got to do.
give a warning shot. You know? Take one more step on my porch.
You know, and I'm sure like there should be things of like you're coming into. They should have some sort of signs of like you are now entering X amount of territory. Outsiders are not welcomed. Yeah. And then at that point, those people are taking that risk.
Yeah, but most I think of these other places yeah. have different ways of getting to them besides going through that particular territory.
Yeah. And ideally, like, you shouldn't be going through the ridge itself. It's a fucking mountain range. Like, yeah. There's pathways, right? So, and it makes sense, too, that we have, like, I would say the rangers are also down to talk to people because that's kind of what they do. When you're rogues and scouts, you need to have relations. So the two clans that are best with relations with outsiders protect that that pathway between the ridge.
Yep.
So it'd be safe to say, like, they have the Fathu Natho would have, like, a working relationship with the Shuffle Guild, essentially.
Yes, because they're rogues and rangers.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And likely the Malakathai as well.
Mm.
I'd say, like, the bottom at least three of the ridge would be probably in good standing and good relations with a lot of guilds, including the Shuffle Guild.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to go into Ogallala territory.
I feel like the Ogallala are like the Amazons.
I can see that. As soon as I saw like matriarchy over patriarchy, I'm like, yeah, seems
like,
about right.
Like Samoan Amazons.
Oh, I'm here for it.
All muscle mommies. That's all it is.
Yeah. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything? What else we want to?
Oh, there's plenty we can look at here. Do we want to give a little bit more context to the five clans outside of, like, you know, your very standard, like, the Malakathai are open to other cultures and the Gothkanathi are strength and duty above. Do we want to give like a little bit more, just a little bit of personality? We don't have to be like in depth about it, but like that may inform like culture and aesthetic to where, you know, where they are.
With the Malakathai, they're not as, I don't know if rule, or fair. I don't know if those are either the right words, but like they will wear more clothes. They're more cultured.
Okay.
Gotcha.
More cultured, a lot more academia, a lot more trading of different.
They're more ingrained or interwoven with other society versus like they got Gothic Anaki would be straight up just like who they are. They're sticking to their guns and that's their pride.
Strength and duty above all. Yeah, so like Malakithai, I could see them even being more of a like a traveling type.
Yeah.
Potentially even a little bit more dabblers of the arcane type of deal. Depending on, you know.
You could have some types. Goliath, like mages, wizards, you know, they'll be like intelligence. Yeah. As their primary strength, perhaps, as their secondary, like they're still strong as fuck.
Yeah, perhaps even, at least maybe stature wise, the Malakithai are slightly smaller than the average Goliath, because they have to rely less on just physical prowess. They still have like they're still Goliath,
right?
Yeah. But that's not, you know, like me angry, me smash things is not their primary directive of going after things, and they're much more, like you said, more cultured and more open to
also not probably societies. Not being as high in the mountain range, they don't need to have that muscular like stature, so you know they don't have to be built as big to withstand the warmth or the cold of like the mountain range.
Yeah, that could be a thing. Further
go stature wise too, like, you know, yeah, exactly. Like the more, you know, you can look at it like, you know, the more beefier the Goliath,
the further north they probably are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that usually tends to make sense because hard times make hard people. You know. Something on the side I wanted to say, and this is for all the tribes because. I like this idea, like they all meet every 2 years, the chiefs, but it should be like they all have a relationship. Like there isn't like if they're like getting at each other, like, oh, you're super skinny, you're super smart, all this other shit. But it's like out of care and love because they know each other. So I think each of the direct children, because I still think it's a matriarchal family thing that leads. Unless you like, you know,
hierarchical type deal,
right? Yep. So like each of the firstborn children of each of those clans are fostered together and spend time at each of the five
as a group. Ooh, I think that would be a very really interesting like reason for why Galahad necessarily wasn't up with his father during the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he is the firstborn of, so yeah, it would make perfect sense for him to be fostered down south while this was all happening.
Yeah, and like you still like, you know, you're still gonna be the way you are. You can still have your personality, but maybe the idea is like these different experiences change how you feel, right? Change, give you different worldviews, and you bring that into leadership because you have more of a responsibility versus the folks that are just like only in the confines of your boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot of that. You're getting because of the southern clans being more like exposed to other cultures, you're also getting the exposure from Dragonborn Valley because that's where, you know, they have the closest connection to for the most part. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Right on.
Now Galahad makes a lot of sense.
Cool. So the Malakithai, I would say, is like they would be, you would see a little bit more influences of different cultures in their architecture, in their cuisine. They're slightly smaller in stature, but tend to be more well-read and more world knowledgeable than like your average Goliath. Like the clan chiefs and like their families may have a better, you know, may have a little bit more knowledge because they're exposed to it for, you know, whatever the chiefs end up doing for like jobs and having to meet and that sort of deal. But they would be the average Malakithai would be able to navigate, you know, like going to Grand City or going to Luxembourg or something along, you know. All right, cool. So we got that, and then we got what, the Nullakavi. Nalkavi, they are the shamans,
druids,
druids.
They can wild shape into owlbears.
yes they can.
Listen, I what's the movie did it, I was like, yo, that just makes kind of sense, like, come on.
Yeah,
because there's some creatures, while they're monstrosities, all this other stuff, I'm like, they're still close enough, like sense.
I don't know, it should be like a capstone thing where you can do it, like you can wild shape as much as you want, but once a day you get a specific wild shape of like some really strong thing.
Yeah,
but you can only do it once. Mm-hmm. Like a day.
Like being a displacer beast would be insane.
Yeah, that would be fun. And then, so we've actually really do have a decent amount on the...
Yeah. We can just figure out the Ogilvy and maybe the Vathanatho.
Yeah, the Vathanatho. Yeah, Vathanatho.
Yeah. Yeah, so we know they're lean. We know more like NBA players. We know Rogue, Rangers.
Maybe they're like a merchant culture as well, because they're at like the major crossroads, and you know, like outside of, you know, I don't know, just the ranger and rogue sort of archetype and being a little bit more lean, and they're like still probably maybe average height for, you know, still shorter than the like the Ogilvy or the Gathakanathi. Maybe they're what sort of looking for? You know, you get the merchants at the crossroad, but they also deal. You know, if there's money being traded and there are goods going by, you're going to have thieves guilds, and you're going to have, you know, a criminal underground, and you're going to have trackers and rangers and guides through the ridge. You know, maybe they're taking this way through, and they use, you know, the Vathanathu as like relations between maybe new territories that merchants are trying to expand into.
Okay, yeah,
essentially makes like sense. they're the not the, I guess, the brokers.
Yeah,
of like
the trading hub of the ridge. Like if you're gonna go trade in the ridge, you go to the Vathanatho first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to get signed. You need to get like cleared.
Yeah,
by them, and then the Vathanatho needs to introduce you for you to get permission to go.
Yeah,
because if you don't,
because I'm sure like
you don't got your papers.
Yeah, because I'm sure in the Terran Ridge, like most of Granzia being a magic as magical
maybe
as it is.
Maybe it's just even a token. They don't even have like papers or anything. Like you have like a totem or something that you either wear on your person or you have on your cart that's, you know, it's big enough, however you want to do it, so that like it's identifiable that you have come. It's at least identifiable.
You've been vetted,
enough.
You've been vetted.
And it's something that people can like look at and make sure that it's authentic and it's not something that has been forged.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been forged, but the Vathanatho may have forged it.
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a way of safety too. So people feel, okay, we'll go through the ridge, and like it is best if you get this so that if a Goliath tribe wants to come and raid you, because like no one's going to stop, they see it and they're like, oh, fuck, all right.
You're cool.
All right, even.
But I also see like the Terran Ridge being a place of like rare, like either minerals or materials, like herbs and stuff, and like that's well protected, which is why like either your weapons or just how you guys are raised with certain foods like helps build your stats essentially, you know.
They have different heart-shaped herbs.
You know?
That brings up an interesting question, because I don't think we didn't have anyone in any of the parties in Turret's campaign that took place on Granzia that was dwarven. And there are many mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could there potentially be like a dwarven like mine or mining colony within the ridge somewhere that potentially works alongside one of the clans. Because they're all going to have some type of export. I feel like we've found some of the different things for them, but like they're either raiding.
Nindelof is like all gnomes, right?
Yeah. Nindelof was all gnomes. Was.
Okay. Was, right.
And they're all, everyone's dead except for
Homeboy.
Homeboy.
Volseer?
Is it Volseer? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Volseer.
And I would say Volseer probably.
Oh, that's just like the rock gnomes. Like there are like forest gnomes and whatnot.
No, but I'm saying Volseer probably has relations with the Goliaths just because of what he makes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So he can definitely go and get the rare materials and be like, here you go, here's some shit.
It was more of a question of like, are there dwarves or is it like, you know, do they work with like, are there like deep gnomes? Are there other rock gnomes there?
Could the dwarves that they work with, you see that mountain range, mountains of, I don't know how to say that.
Egelf.
Egelf? Could that be, because it's like directly north, be where those other gnomes might have went to, or the dwarven, because we haven't established like where the dwarves were, like that can be where they are.
Maybe it was just a curiosity because there's so many mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we never talked about dwarves. No one was a dwarf. So that was never revealed.
I think it being...
It's off topic anyway.
I mean, most of the Goliaths aren't living... They're living... They live on the mountain.
They don't live in the mountain.
In the mountain. Mm. They live on the mountain. So... And we know that dwarves are
subterranean.
Always, and fiction have always been subterranean and fantasy.
I mean, like I said, do we want to pick a tribe that works with like mountain gnomes? As like, I feel like the Amazons as like having Samoan Amazons as your like security, as your security force to keep the mine safe. I feel like is pretty damn good, and keep the city safe.
You know, that makes sense because the top two don't really deal with external parties, and so like, how are they keeping everyone around? How are they making any sort of money or income to trade? And...
Yeah, the only external party the Gothicanathis are really talking to are the Dragonborn.
Yeah, so maybe it's the Ogilvy.
Hmm.
There's a dwarven city and a mine within Terran Ridge.
Ooh.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Ooh.
This gives me ideas.
Yeah, no, this is what this that's the whole fucking point. Dwarf name generator.
Random name generator.
We could just have the dwarven city be like directly under the ridge, just between the two. Completely under the ridge, and it is like a mutual beneficiary partnership,
mm-hmm.
where the Ogilvy are like part of their role is to be like is to protect that area, and maybe the dwarves are the ones who created the Summit of Dawn.
Ooh, yes.
Oh. Nice.
Ooh. All right. One that immediately pops out to me is Thol Badir.
What's the name?
Thol Badir. Tholbadir.
That's a dwarf name or a dwarf city?
A dwarf city name.
Okay.
Mmm.
Bulbadeer.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right, cool. So the Ogilvy have.
Yeah. And maybe that's how, like to people outside, they were like, how the hell do the Goliaths like traverse
the ridge so quickly and effectively, and that's because they're going around.
Mm. Yes, yes. And that, I mean, they're probably always outfitted with, like, the dopest fucking weapons and shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Fine dwarven craftsmanship.
I'm sure that helped them wielding, win plenty of wars.
They're all wielding, like, giant-sized dwarven, you know, like a dwarven double-headed axe.
Mm-hmm.
Killing shit. Very nice. Okay, so Ogilvy, Amazonian, so a little bit closer to nature, closer to, like, yeah, Samoan.
Okay.
And then how would you describe the Gothicanathi?
Who was the redheaded dude? Or no, who was the leader for the, like, the true north, beyond the wall?
Oh, Tormund?
Yeah.
I would say very, very masculine, very bro-y. very, very, like, locker room sports team oriented.
All right. Talking, so, like, long houses and yurts and shit.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Like, they're all about, like,
it's that Spartan mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I can
also, what we should do too for that dwarven city, we should just make it like it's a hidden city that no one knows about, but is legend about it because the Goliaths don't talk about it.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's why there's like, that's why the dwarves were not part of the war. Those dwarves were not part of the War of the Five Kings. They were like, nope. Here are the weapons. It's not about us.
Yeah. We'll provide weapons.
Yeah. Like, but like,
Volseer. I'm taking this lore from
yes!
and adding into this. Volseer apprenticed in
Badir.
Fucking yes.
Yes.
Alright, so we've got governing, we've got religion, we've got culture and aesthetic. Let's do main exports. What their economy is based on. They gotta have some way of living.
I would say the Nalakavi are mostly like they're suppliers for like apothecaries. So like rare herbs, rare like kind of like materials for potions, that kind of thing. Like they go directly to them, and it's one of those like,
I bet the Nalakavi have a deal with the Forest Bastion that the Nalakavi's territory, as it were, at least along the ridge, the Nalakavi have the ability to trade with, you know, everywhere east or everywhere west of the ridge. So like Rockport, Ravenwood, the Storm Canyon. Nereus, Ground City is fair game for everybody if they actually want to go down there, and Forest Bastion has the stuff to the east of it, so like Bludenveris, Luxembourg, you know, Belrondis, Medley, I feel like they're both in pretty close proximity with Forest Bastion and the Wood Elves, and the Nalakavi is the Shaman and the Druid. I bet they probably trade with each other as well. But yeah, I dig that.
Yep.
I like it.
We can do, I guess it's just, yeah, the Gothic and I can have mercenary guilds.
Yeah, mercenary.
Swords for hire.
Absolutely.
Mm, get the biggest, baddest motherfuckers, yeah.
The Ogilvy are just independently wealthy.
Yes, because of their the mutual understanding of what nobody
really knows how the Ogilvy is surviving right now, but they are living their best lives right
absolutely
now.
Yep. The other four clans know, but no one else does,
right? Yep. It's a very like
yep.
Yep. And then
they probably trade with the rest of the, you know, we'll give you the next tier down of shit that we get. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see.
And then maybe for the Malakathai, we can have I don't know if we wanted to have, like, maybe there's a school.
Ooh, or like something. An academy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the reason why they that's what they get the firstborns of the chief's kids. They are fostered down in Malakathai to attend that particular academy.
And then which means that, like, while the other clans may not be as enthused in regards to, like, the whole mixing and stuff, that school is protected and, like, mm-hmm. shit ain't going down because our leadership is fostered here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a good checks and measures to make sure the school is protected and nothing happens because the other clans, because their leaders are fostered there.
Right.
Yeah, and this could also be a spot where, like, the elite send their children to be, you know, like, well, you know, like one of the big, like, rich boarding school type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they host, like, traveling professors and shit like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to come up with a name for the school. Let's go with magic school.
Would they have outsiders at that school as well? As attendees.
But it's a paid tuition. You have to pay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's a prestigious
you wouldn't think a prestigious school is in the ridge with Goliaths, but it is.
Mm.
And yeah, it's one of those hush hush, like, nobody that they're not advertising it. It's mm-hmm. not like a thing.
Level Terran Ridge is like becoming Wakanda in some kind of way.
I'm
here for it. That's fine by me. You're not just
it's a Samoan Wakanda. Let's do it.
you're not just a bunch of fucking meatheads. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm here for it.
But yeah, the school's in the mountain. So, like, you don't know it's a school.
Mm.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The school's in the mountain, It's been built by the dwarves, but, like, and all that stuff. But, like, it's staffed and all the other fun stuff. Highly protected.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain Crest School of Magic.
Do you also want to incorporate the five clans, like, as a, like,
I don't know, maybe Mountain Crest Conservatory?
Yeah, we can do Conservatory. I like Mountain Crest.
Yeah, Mountain Crest Conservatory, because then it's all encompassing. It's like you learn the things that you thrive at. It's not necessarily it gives you the socialization and the well-roundedness of being able to be around other peoples and learning different cultures and that sort of deal. But, like, you know, if you're athletic and, you know, it's, you know, sword fighting and tactician, you know, tactical, like, then that's what you're going to be there to learn how to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, tailored learning to each student. That's why all the rich people go in.
Yeah.
So they don't have huge classes. It's like,
yeah. That's why you're able to get, like, specialized.
Yeah. Like, you got, like, 50, you know, 50 students per year. Mountain Crest.
And the whole, like, academy, your whole, like, program is how many years?
Go until the, until you're considered an adult in your culture, or however long you choose.
Mm. So for the Goliath kids, they would go for, like, 10 years or something like that, like their early years, because I think, what is it?
I don't want to know if we want to do that too long, because I do want them to
it could be like a unit. It can definitely be like a primary school thing, but
mm.
yeah, I guess so. That makes sense. They're there for X amount of years and they start when they're younger, but they do. And then
you can take further education.
Yeah.
If you have the means in order to do that.
Yeah. But they all do like they all do have times or periods where they live with each of the five.
Mm.
So like, yes, they'll start there and then they'll take a time or something. They'll go to one part and then they'll go to another part and they get to just so that they understand the cultures of each of the. Yeah.
So we could do 2 years at each location then. Maybe 10 years of your upbringing for the most part. So about like, you start at six, let's say, by the time you're 16 and like ready to do like
ready for adulthood.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not necessarily. Maybe it's not 2 years at a specific spot, but it is sprinkled over depending on what type of lesson they are teaching these particular.
Mm.
So like if you're more, you know, like if you're there for more of a physical education than you are for a intellectual education. I mean, obviously there's going to be intellectual pieces to the physical regardless, but like you would go to like the Gathakanathi, the Ogilavi, and the Vanilatho? Never fucking remember the name. Vathanatho. Because they are more physically, the physical prowess for them is more of a cultural thing. You'll still spend time in the other spots, but you may spend more time in those areas. Learning those particular, learning whatever it is that you're learning, battle strategy, you know, ranging, that sort of, you know, that sort of shit. And then if you're a little bit more tuned to the intellectual, you're looking at like a lot more Nalakavi and Malakathai, and probably still some of the Vathanathu because they're also like merchants and traders and stuff. So there's like business dealings to learn and that sort of deal. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was really in depth for a school we just made up, but I like it though.
I was also thinking of like, this I was typing now in ChatGPT too, of the five, because the school goes around year round, you know, but the five that will be the next, that is, they're the groom of the next leaders though, like. I think that five should have a name, like this generation's that, like it's the same name for each of the groups, but it'll be like
the Pentevret.
So I have Pentevret of some, but I have one. I was looking for like all those things, and so I was like, so I have the five pillars of Terran Ridge.
Ooh,
mm-hmm. You know. That's kind of the one I have right now. I'm looking at some other ones. There's the one that's the Terran Pented. I'm like, absolutely not.
Nope.
No.
I was like, absolutely not. The Pentarch of Terran Ridged. But I think, you know, I think a group, I think there should be a group name. It should be, and I don't know, maybe this is something that Galahad has to deal with because, like, he isn't there, although he's one of these things.
I wonder if any one of those people, well no, they would be, because even though you've aged, they haven't aged. You're gonna show back up an old man.
Yeah,
that's gonna be weird.
Yeah, I like the five pillars of the five pillars of Terran Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be, I feel like it would be shortened to like they're the pillars.
Yeah.
They're formal title is the five pillars of Terran Ridge, but yeah, the pillars.
The shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is the pillars. And like they know it from like their, and like I don't know, maybe we figure this out, and like this is something, you know, God deals with too. Because his father got excommunicated, he's not there. So
yeah,
like,
who took over the tribe?
Mm-hmm.
If he was one of the five pillars, who took over his spot as the pillar. Yeah.
Is his grandfather there? Like, or that's, you know, did one of his siblings,
his uncles or something like that?
Some shit. Yeah.
Got a whole scar situation going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to pull up my best Jeffrey Irons.
Oh, this is going to be great.
All right, I'm here for that. Yeah, and the Vatanatho for their main exporter, like the trading and mm-hmm. all of that fun stuff that we were talked about earlier with the totem and, you know, they're yeah. the traders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. So I would say the last thing is festivals.
Ooh. I so would love to see something almost like the old American Gladiator show. Like, and just have like, you have like the elder, like, you know, the elder, you know, the uncle or whatever the case is, and the next generation of like kids who are like about to be
what if the pillars compete in like a decathlon? And it's over the course, you know, like it's a yearly thing, and then like, you know, you follow through the decade or whatever. Most people will only see one, maybe two sets of pillars do whatever the race is. And call it like the gauntlet or something like that.
Yeah, we can do that. Maybe we can have the main festival where the dwarves live. So like, there's no like, so people like it's. I would say it's like, I definitely don't think it's a festival where they include a bunch of people. Like,
oh,
like,
no.
So it's definitely like a hidden.
Only the students. I would say also the students of the
school
of Mountain Crest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they would be the people in the school would be the only one, only outsiders that would know. And that'd be like one of those express things of like, this doesn't exist.
Yeah. This whole thing doesn't exist.
This whole thing doesn't exist. We have you. We will know if you're talking about it. It'll be very easy to figure out if you're talking about it because no one talks about it.
Yeah. Ooh.
The gauntlet. I don't know. I feel like we'd come up with a better name for the gauntlet. And then, you know, there's like a, maybe the gauntlet is sort of like the beginning of the festival, and then after is like the celebration of like the winners and, you know, that sort of deal.
Yeah.
And do it similar to like a, I don't know if it's a, I don't know if the decathlons do this or not, but like have it so that like there are individual things that everyone does, and there are individual winners for different categories, and then there is like the overall winner.
Oh, okay.
I like it.
So like there's still not necessarily like any butthurt about like it's still, you know what I mean, like there's still pride, like, you know, maybe the Malakathai almost always win in these particular categories, and the Nalakavi are fucking, they're, you know, to beat a Nalakavi in, you know, these two categories is like,
it's almost a huge
unheard
deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Like, that's a big upset if you do something like that. But like, the overall winner is different. You know, it changes over the course of all of the different years. And maybe they actually do this during the winter solstice, during the Summit of the Dawn.
You could, yeah. Okay.
That would be a good reason to
Get everyone together, build some sense of community amongst the tribes.
And the meeting could either be at the end or the beginning of the celebration. So like the chief leaders are there.
Yeah. I think having it after, like, have that big moment of like, all right, we gotta talk, we gotta settle things, we gotta, you know, whatever, and then having the celebration afterwards or the competition afterwards kind of breaks that tension, lets everyone kind of chill out.
Maybe they all pilgrimage to the same place. Like, everyone is traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone travels inside the mountain, and then the leaders go and they do their thing. And while they're conversing, everyone's getting things ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when the Summit at the Dawn ends, that signals the beginning of the the event, the gauntlet, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's the celebration and all that fun stuff.
I can almost see like a small coliseum that's underneath like Terran Ridge, like that's just huge, but it's strictly for these games. Like it's literally just like a stadium underneath like the whole mountains where everyone can come and watch and whatever the case is, and like it just becomes like a fun like thing. Like it's a dedicated space for the Goliaths to come and have that, but like the dwarves come and like enjoy them, you know, the games as well.
All right, so if there are going to be a lot of people traveling, if whole tribes are piecing out of their regions to go underground for however long this is, probably days at a time,
mm-hmm.
people are going to notice that.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be their cover for the, you know, the week or the 10 days that they're gone every other winter solstice? You know, because like the Vatanathu, this is like a ridge wide event. Like this is the thing that you go to. People aren't going to be.
Could this be something where,
where
they have like the trusted like people like from Dragonborn Valley or from like those guilds that they work with to be like, hey, while we're gone, like just make sure everything's okay.
We could do that. Maybe. I mean, it could be a thing though. People may look and be like, why is it? Like, maybe people will do the math though.
Right. Like, well, I would say you could also leave some people behind. You could definitely leave some people behind, but I feel like you wouldn't want to.
I feel like if this is during the winter solstice too, this is probably during the harshest part of the winter.
Yeah.
So the people traveling in Terran Ridge during the winter solstice and, you know, the days leading up to and the days after the solstice, I feel like probably slim.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So strategically, that's why they do it.
Yeah.
Because no one's really going through the mountain range just because before you even get to some Goliath, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could also see where, because we have this underground, like, dwarven city, that makes for quicker access, like we said earlier, to each part of Terran Ridge. So it doesn't necessarily mean like they're so far gone that they can't kind of periphery kind of, you know.
Oh, you know what? I got an idea.
Centered around the city, I could see that. But like,
Tommy,
you know, if the Terran Ridge is like takes a week or two to traverse from the southern reaches to the northern reaches, I don't care about I don't care how many tunnels you have underground, you're still having to walk for days to get to certain points in the ridge.
I don't know if they have this depending on power and magic and however you want to do it, right? But like,
yeah.
Could the Nalakavi, and like it outside, it is looked at as like their version of like the monsoon. The mountains during this time get hit with a blizzard. Every other year, they are hit with a major blizzard.
Control weather. They have, yeah. So the druids.
Because they are in tune with nature. They are about the ridge. Everything's about the ridge. So to protect the ridge, there is a major blizzard that happens. All right. So you like the idea of the druids controlling the weather.
That's fucking dope.
Which I think is cool because it ties back to Dragonborn Valley, where you've got the shamans of each of the Dragonborn clans that create
the Hydra?
The Hydra, yeah. I can't think of its name for some freaking reason.
Fuck yeah. Alright, I'm definitely here for that. So we got that one big festival. What do we call that festival?
Maybe, how about, I think keeping Terran Ridge or Ridge in there makes it unifying.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it's a play on two things, right? I think we call it the storm on the ridge. Because on Outsiders, the storm on the ridge happens every 2 years. We don't go through the ridge. To the Goliaths, the storm on the ridge is the celebration.
Mm.
So that's not thunder that you're hearing.
Oh!
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
That's the ground rocking, motherfucker.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Storm on the ridge. Do we want to do any other ones? Clan specific, or are we going to stick to... We can definitely stick to a single.
I mean, I think they probably all have some type of coming of age, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that could be fleshed out on a need-to-know basis.
Yeah.
Because we got to take into consideration that a lot of this is sort of the idea of, like, what you would read in, like, a setting book.
Mm-hmm.
Enough information to get you going, but
yeah,
vague enough where you can make it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, we can say, like, there are certain... Like, this is the main celebration, but there are coming-of-age celebrations that each of the clans hold unique to them.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just unique to the pillars. That's unique to everybody, because everyone has to do what they need to do for the clan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I like it. The celebration, we said it's a week-long thing? Like a It
2 weeks. Let's say 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. How about... And you can do this so you got the every other winter solstice, you got the storm on the ridge, and then you can do the solstice in between, or maybe the summer solstice. Every other summer solstice is when all of the coming of age celebrations happen.
Oh yeah, okay.
But they're unique to the clans.
Mm,
okay.
And like, but they happen every other year, and like every child or whatever
mm-hmm.
has to go through it. Like either they hit that age or they're right before. Like there's like they have like some. Kind of like a school rating of like you're gonna hit this age and this is when you're gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, I can come up with a name for that.
Yeah, so you'll have some that are like at the age of when it happens, ones that are just below the age of when it's gonna happen, and you can have ones 1 year above when it happens, and it's like within those three age groups.
Mm.
Or something. I don't know, we can figure it. We can hand wave it or figure it out, but something like that.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
And all right, so for the storm on the ridge, how long do we want to have that go for?
Because you're having a decathlon, it's 10 competitions. So at least between that and the talk, I think, isn't like a 1 day thing. I would feel like they have like an initial meeting. Secondary and then final day. It's like a 3 day thing, and then have maybe like a week and a half be the festival.
Yeah.
It starts the day before the winter solstice. The peak is the winter solstice, and then the final day, and going off of what you said with having like the sunlight signaling the beginning of it,
mm-hmm.
having it go across for 3 days, the way that it was built will refract to the different parts of like when they start the decathlon. So yeah. There's like different, you know, the because the day before and the day after the solstice will be the closest to it, so you'll get like the different refracting
mm-hmm.
light and whatnot. And perhaps on that third day of the solstice, there's a, you know, like a particular spot or a shaft or something within the room of the atrium for the summit of the dawn that signals to the underground that the talks have ended and mm-hmm. that the decathlon starts.
I wonder if there's like a section that is almost like a shaft or opening, whatever the case is, and there would be like a fire that's lit underneath. So you go and you basically drop something that signifies like...
Oh, like when a pope is... when they...
Kind of, yeah. Kind of.
Yeah, the black smoke and the white smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can roll with that. In like 2 weeks, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Terran Ridge. In the center of Granzia, like a spine jutting from the ground, is a mountain range known as Terran Ridge. Here is where the five main Goliath clans reside and hold dominion. The Gotha Kanafi clan is a patriarchal and formidable warrior culture that resides in seclusion within the northernmost region of Terran Ridge. Renowned for their prowess in combat, they have earned a reputation as swords for hire and fearsome warriors. The Gotha Kanafi maintain close ties with the neighboring clans, particularly the Ogalavi, preferring to stay self-contained and resistant to external influence. They prioritize the ridge and their own clan's interests slightly above all else. Their seclusion allows them to cultivate their unique martial traditions, forging a legacy of hardened warriors and indomitable spirit. Within their secluded enclave, the Gotha Kanafi clan thrives as a stoic and disciplined society, valuing strength, honor, and loyalty above all else.
Further south, a clan known as the Ogalavi emerges, cloaked in the guise of matriarchal barbarians to the outside world. However, behind this facade lies a profound secret. They serve as the staunch protectors of Thol Badir, a hidden dwarven city nestled deep within the ridge. Cunning leaders and skilled warriors, the Ogalavi veil their true purpose and intent, shrouded in an air of mystery. What sets them apart is their mastery of a unique form of combat, enabling them to channel their inner rage and unleash its power on the battlefield. Together with the Gotha Kanafi, they form the formidable standing army of the Ridge, their unwavering loyalty bound to the preservation of their hidden sanctuary and the defense of the land that they call home.
The Vathunathu clan, a distinctive group among the Goliaths, thrives as a merchant culture, boasting a leaner physique compared to the average Goliath. They establish their bustling trade hub at the entrance to the vast network of trade routes connecting various clans within the Ridge. Operating not only within legitimate commerce, but also delving into the realm of the black market, they maintain covert connections with thieves' guilds and similar underground organizations. Beyond their expertise in trade, the Vathunathu are renowned for their exceptional tracking and guiding skills, serving as prominent guides for treacherous terrains and the unexplored paths within the Ridge. Their multifaceted nature makes them a vital bridge between clans and a key player in both legal and illicit exchanges, exerting an influence far beyond their immediate domain.
The Nalakavi clan, a patriarchal society within the Ridge, embraces a shamanistic culture. They hold a unique position as the neutral voice amidst conflicts, serving as mediators and arbitrators among the clans. Revered for their deep connection to the spiritual realm, the Nalakavi take on the responsibility of training and nurturing shamans from various clans within their own and other clans. Their extensive knowledge of nature and its intricate workings allow them to provide invaluable assistance, offering rare herbs, special ingredients, and potent remedies to those residing both within and beyond the confines of the Ridge. Through their shamanistic practices and medicinal expertise, the Nalakavi clan stands as a beacon of healing and guidance, contributing to the well-being of the Goliath community.
The Malakathai clan, embodying a communal ethos among the Goliaths, resides closest to the major cities within Granzia, fostering a unique relationship with neighboring cultures. Distinguished by their relatively smaller stature, the Malakathai members enjoy benefits of education and socialization, setting them apart from their larger Goliath counterparts. The clan takes pride in its intellectual prowess and cultural adaptability. They are the esteemed founders and operators of the renowned Mountain Crest Conservatory, a prestigious institution that welcomes and educates the offspring of Granzia's elite class, including the firstborn child of each of the clan's chiefs. Within the hallowed halls, the Granzian progeny receive a comprehensive education, equipping them with the knowledge and understanding needed to navigate the world and fulfill their destined roles. The Malakathai serves as guides and mentors, nurturing the next generation of leaders and fostering cross-cultural understanding and cooperation.
Once, every winter solstice, the Ridge becomes engulfed in an unforgiving blizzard, its true purpose unbeknownst to the outside world. Known as the Storm on the Ridge, this biannual festival conceals a 2-week-long celebration within the Thol Badir.
The Nalakabi clan, masters of shamanistic arts, conjure and maintain the storm, providing cover for the chiefs of the five clans to convene at the hidden summit of the dawn. Here, they engage in 3 days of secret meetings before the commencement of the week-long competition amongst the firstborn chiefs called the Five Pillars of the Ridge. This contest showcases their intellect, wit, and physical prowess. As the competition concludes, a grand celebration unfolds, reverberating with the unity and joy of the Kalaev clans, even if only for a short time. The Storm on the Ridge remains a breathtaking spectacle known solely to those within the Ridge's majestic embrace.
Notable people and places. Elanath Stonefist Galakanathi, male Goliath. A legendary warrior renowned for his unmatched skill with the blade, serves as the captain of the Gathakanathi clan's elite guard, leading them with unwavering loyalty and strategic brilliance. Valeria Frostkiller Nalakavi, female Goliath, sought after for her profound healing abilities, providing remedies and guidance in those in need. She serves as a spiritual guide and counselor, mediating conflicts and offering solace in times of adversity.
Rurik Stormbreaker Ogolavi, female Goliath, a charismatic and cunning leader. Her ability to lead and inspire her warriors has earned her the position of commander of the Ogolavi's clan's elite forces. Amara Stoneheart Malakathai, an occasional visiting professor who teaches modern history and specializes in the War of the Fae Kings, plays a vital role as a diplomat and ambassador, forging alliances and promoting cross-cultural exchange.
Stargazer Spire. Perched atop the highest peak of Terran Ridge, Stargazer Spire is an awe-inspiring observatory where Goliath astronomers delve into the mysteries of the cosmos using advanced telescopes and celestial instruments. Blossom's Rest. Tucked away in the serene corner of Terran Ridge, Blossom's Rest is a tranquil garden oasis filled with vibrant flora and cascading waterfalls known for its healing properties and serene ambience.
There you have it, the sixth of the lore episodes. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms, particularly in Instagram and TikTok. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming and already out, and it's definitely worth your time to check out. So go check those things out. Also, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would definitely appreciate the love and support. We'll see you next week for Collateral Damage 114. And in 2 weeks for Collateral Damage 115. Safe travels.